These charges mean?
It could be the smoking gun, but the other piece is there are oftentimes autonomous units.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful. But then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too. So why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
Friday, banks released their earnings reports. Now, it was good news for some big banks such as JPMorgan Chase, Citigroup, PNC Bank, and Bank of America. But what does this mean for us and you, and what does it mean for banks long term? Well, Marty Mosby is with Bank of America. He broke down some of these profit reports.
We've got growth in the balance sheet, so loan growth is back. Even Bank of America shows some deposit growth, which is very strong.
One professional wrestling's most well-known figure is making a comeback, as we hear from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Hulk Hogan's suspension lifted by the WWE, and he's headed back to the WWE Hall of Fame as well. Hogan had been kicked out in 2015 after a leaked conversation revealed him using a racial slur. In a statement, the WWE now says Hogan's numerous apologies and his work with kids have earned him a second chance. It means he could be back on television very, very soon.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey, Charlie Jones here. I've been sleeping on a MyPillow now for 10 weeks, and I'm telling you, my sleep has improved dramatically. So what are you waiting for? Jump on board and start experiencing the kind of restorative sleep you need in your life. And if you're waiting for a better offer, your wait is over, because MyPillow just brought back their best offer ever. It's their buy one, get one free special. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the buy one, get one free special, use my code USA, and get one free pillow when you buy one at regular price. That's MyPillow.com, click on the buy one, get one free special, and enter promo code USA.
President Trump is on his way back to the White House, and one of the big stories of the day is still the president's meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Let's take a listen to some of the president's opening remark.
Constructive dialogue between the United States and Russia afford the opportunity to open new pathways toward peace and stability in our world. I would rather take a political risk in pursuit of peace than to risk peace in pursuit of politics. As president, I will always put what is best for America and what is best for the American people.
The president then elaborates on what was discussed during the private meeting.
As we discussed at length, the crisis in Syria is a complex one. Cooperation between our two countries has the potential to save hundreds of thousands of lives. I also made clear that the United States will not allow Iran to benefit from our successful campaign against ISIS. We have just about eradicated ISIS in the area. We also agreed that representatives from our national security councils will meet to follow up on all of the issues we addressed today and to continue the progress we have started right here in Helsinki.
President Trump is expected to land tonight in Washington, D.C. just after 9:30 Eastern Time. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunter In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunter In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
And we're live in the studio. I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle, and we're going to go right to the weather before we do our guest introduction. So what is going on outside? Well, I had to do a double take because my guest has a long-sleeved shirt on, so very formal over here, which he's going to suffer because we have a heat advisory and a few heat warnings. So we're looking at some very hot temperature. But it's July. We'd rather have it hot in July than in January. So we're doing okay here. So it's 91 right now in the Flemington area. They did say there might be a chance of some thunderstorms this afternoon and this evening. I'll tell you, the air doesn't feel like it's going to rain, so I'm going to say that that's a very low chance of any thunderstorms today. Tonight may be a different story. We have a 30% chance of a tenth of an inch of rain. That's not going to do too much. All the grass is looking a little peaked right now, and people who don't like to cut their lawn are probably pretty happy. Let's see what we have going on for the rest of the week. Tomorrow, the whole day, we're looking at some heavy rain, severe thunderstorms, afternoon, after 12 o'clock, that is. And we could have some heavy rain, perhaps a quarter to an inch of a half inch of rain. So we need it. And Tuesday evening, we have some more heavy chance of showers between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m. So Wednesday, finally, it's all worth it because Wednesday is beautiful. It's a beach day. There's a high of 81, and it's sunny, very few clouds. Beautiful day for July. Thursday, it's the same. It's absolutely beautiful. Another beach day, a high of 82. We're looking at lows in the high 50s, both on Wednesday night and Thursday evening. And Friday, we have a mostly sunny sky with a high of 83. So hope everyone gets to the beach. We have one more commercial, and then I'll be back in the studio with a guest.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
All right, so we're back to business over here, and we always start out with a quote. So I'm going to give a funny quote because I know my guest, Dan Gilligan, has a sense of humor, so I know he'll appreciate this. It's a quote from Woody Allen, and Woody Allen says, "There are worse things in life than death. Have you ever spent an evening with an insurance salesman?" So we had to do that. And the reason we had to do that is we're dispelling myths here on Hot and Hunterdon today. And the reason that we're doing that is I'll give you the backstory to that. So I'm with Dan Gilligan, who's in the studio. Dan, I have no idea what mic you're on, so let's try that one. Can we hear you?
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's perfect. It's okay. Great. So mostly I don't know what I'm doing, and no one seems to care, and I just keep doing it. And it turns out okay. So the backstory on all of this, that I have Dan Gilligan from Paradigm Insurance Services, and he has a whole lot of initials after his name, and he's going to tell us about that and why or why they're important or what we should look for. So the backstory on this is that I needed to get insurance the last time Dan was here at the end, you know, around March or April. And I started looking for health insurance, and I realized that it's a crazy world out there. It's a really, really crazy world out there. And there's different types of insurance I was searching for, health insurance and business insurance, self-employment insurance, liability, and I really was surprised at the lack of categorization for how to, the steps and the knowledge, and all you got is a whole lot of information, but none of it was good, none of it you could cull through and understand if it was an interesting information for your specific thing, and insurance really is a specific thing. So we're going to delve a little bit into what Dan does and how it makes sense to work with the different types of brokers and insurance companies. And Dan is going to smarten us up, and we need a little smartening up over here, let me tell you. So Dan, thanks for joining us. If you don't mind, if we go right into, you're located right here in Flemington. I appreciate you taking the walk over here today. And I'm going to just let people know that they can reach out to you via email. You're at paradigm at adpinsurance.com. Mm-hmm. Is that right? All right. Mm-hmm. See, look, I'm a mess, but I'm a mess I can read today. So it's not all bad. And you work for a Paradigm Insurance Company. And tell us what the CRM, AAI, and CIC stands for after your name on your card.
I'm not sure. I just made all those letters up and asked the printer to put them on there. So
all right. Well, you're in good. You're in with a good audience today because none of us really know what we're doing.
Well, what I'm thinking is that, you know, from your opening quote, if people don't want to listen to this, there's like another radio show on the dial about dentistry. You know.
Well, I think they'll stick with us. They'll stick with us because they're like me. They want to know. We want to know what's important. What do we look for? What do you do? Just break it down for us. We'll jump right in.
Okay. Well, you know, we are a commercial insurance agency. And insurance is a massive industry. And your opening comments about how a, you know, regular retail customer person approaches the industry and can easily get overwhelmed is really understandable. You know, I've been doing this almost 30 years, and I still learn stuff about this business. And, you know, like a lot of businesses, what you have to do is you have to kind of specialize in order to have the best shot at success. So we do that. We deal with professional service firms and a specific type of professional service firm, which is really more than half of our business. The other half is general commercial type of business. So what our role is to understand, you know, what the insurable exposures are of an individual or a business, and then, you know, talk with that individual and see if they agree on our assessment, and then determine what might be important to that individual, and then go to market, you know, and essentially shop the program that we've designed for the best terms and pricing that we can get back from the insurance marketplace.
And how do you actually figure out the terms of that? Is it a format? Is it a conversation, an interview, a technique?
Yeah. Right. Well, I guess it's all of those things. You know, we have what we refer to as a survey protocol. So, you know, when we have a new client engagement for a new business, and it varies by industry, you know, we'll go through our survey forms. And, you know, if it's a more sizable firm, we may be interviewing, you know, different people in management at that firm, different locations. If it's a sole proprietor, we're talking to the guy or girl who, you know, owns the business. And, you know, what we want to do is they know their business. They know nothing about insurance. All that they know is that if they have something that costs them money, the insurance better pay for it. You know, that's the way that people see insurance. So, you know, we have to understand their business and understand what things may, in fact, make that happen, you know, to their business or organization or to them as individuals. And then say, this is how our industry can respond. And just as importantly, say, this is how our industry can't respond with an insurance product. Maybe there's something else you want to do to mitigate, you know, that issue. And that's one of those acronyms is CRM, Certified Risk Manager. I've taken some classes and that kind of thing, and do some consulting with risk management. Really, that background helps me just, I think, to be a better agent, you know, for our customers. And helping them, you know, and consulting with them and giving them the information that they need in order to make, you know, good quality decisions for themselves.
And I think sometimes what happens in an industry is that they allow insurance decisions to drive what they do too much. And so I think a good balance is when you're working with a team, someone that can help you to identify what potential risks may be, to have policies in place to try to reduce those risks, mm-hmm. and then to have a good relationship if there is an issue that you know what is covered and what isn't, and there's no surprises.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think if insurance considerations are driving a business, that's a problem. You know, what should be driving an organization is its mission, and with a business, that's profit. With a nonprofit, that's whatever its mission may be. And, you know, insurance plays a role there, you know. But at times, it does become too big of a deal for people, and that's a problem account. There's something wrong, you know, that needs to get solved there, either through the insurance marketplace, operationally with the account. But, you know, getting back to your example of an individual like yourself or, you know, an individual who may be starting a business or, you know, having to enter into the insurance marketplace, You know, they do look at health insurance because when you say, what could financially affect me? Well, you know, my house could burn down or this could happen or, you know, something wacky could happen. But, you know, I mean, I might have to go to the doctor like more than once, you know. So, yeah, health insurance is a big issue, and that is a very, very difficult issue. You know, to your point about, look, I couldn't really digest all this information that I was able to get from websites or talking to people or whatever it may be. That is true. You know, insurance remains complicated. We read insurance policies because nobody wants to, and we have to, you know, and that's a service. The industry continues to add people. I've been waiting for somebody to figure out how to make an Excel spreadsheet out of me and get rid of my job, but it doesn't happen, you know, and it doesn't happen because there is complexity. Oftentimes, you know, the insurance transaction is the fact of it is that an insurance company is not thrilled to have to pay claims. You know, they don't want to put them, they want to avoid being put in that position if they possibly can. You know, so it's a very, very unusual type of transaction where our role is to make sure that we have the insurance company checkmated to pay everything we expect them to pay. So, but when a person starts out, yeah, they will look at the health insurance market. And unfortunately, for a lot of different reasons, and we could talk for hours and hours about the health insurance market, it's a difficult and expensive market. Particularly for individuals in New Jersey.
Well, it is a difficult market and it is complicated, but there's also no clear path to it either.
Well, that's interesting. I'll tell you, I've been doing this a long time, probably like 28 years. And when I first started in this business, you know, you could sell health insurance as an agent, and there was some compensation to that. You know, that has shrunken dramatically to the point where there are agents who they really look at the health insurance and they say, I can't really make any money doing this. You know, I mean, I got to answer the phone, I got to talk to people, I got to send them their cards when at the doctor, I got to do all this stuff. And the carriers, you know, have really squeezed the compensation on that. So there are. You know, it's not – when you look at the world of insurance and you're a guy like me, that's not what you pick to, you know, focus on because that's not really, you know, the best use of – or the most profitable use of time. But we actually have a couple of individuals, you know, in our office who, you know, do focus on this stuff. It's just kind of what they were in, you know, the path that they've gone down. And so they're there to, you know, help people and talk with them and talk about the exchange and the federal and why you have the subsidies and all this stuff. And I mean, you know, I'm not in those trenches every day, so I'm not an expert on that. But, you know, I hear enough about it that I have some familiarity with it. And we're fortunate to have, you know, people who we work with who, you know, I can have our, you know, people talk to them and they, you know, they can help guide people through that market.
It is really complicated, and I'm a everyday kind of person. I don't belong to a watch group, or I'm not part of a conglomerate purchasing
right.
insurance. And
right.
Just trying to make sure that I don't have some huge
yeah.
unexpected expense
yeah.
that I can't you know, sustain. So
right. Right.
trying to figure that out,
yeah,
which is a reasonable approach to a
yeah.
complicated problem. It seems a lot more complicated when you start trying to determine what is best, because there really are very few apple to apple type comparisons. And I think when you start reading and learning about insurance companies and you see different lawsuits and OPRA requests and investigations in New Jersey, you start to wonder what your resources actually are and how to best use them. And it was surprising to me that there are really no local or very few local health brokers.
Right. Yeah, there used to be. I mean, I used to have a business partner who was one, but that company actually got purchased and absorbed into a bigger entity, and I, you know, had to get out of that partnership. But, you know, very recently we hired a person and, you know, she deals with this and she deals with Medicare supplements, you know, another massive market where people need guidance. You know, if you want, I can give you like the quick rundown on individual health insurance if you...
Absolutely. Let's do a break. I am always amazed at how quickly time goes. It's coming on 4:20.
Are there people with like, you know, really young children who have turned us on to make the kid go to sleep at nap time listening to the insurance guy.
Dan, I didn't come up with your career, okay? I'm just working with what you gave me.
I find it fascinating. You know, I think we do provide a critical financial piece to an organization, and I'm fortunate enough to deal with a lot of different companies and learn a lot from them. And you know, it's worthwhile. But hey, like some other things in society, it gets a bad rap sometimes. Sometimes well deserved, but not always.
Certainly. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to do a commercial break. But if anyone is using this show to put their young children to sleep, call in 908-237-0410. Or alternatively, if you have a question about health insurance, how you purchase it, broker, or a large picture question about health insurance, then by all means, give us a call here in the studio, 908-237-0410. I'm going to catch up on our commercials, and then I'll be back with Dan.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, and we're back in the studio. No one called us, so I'm going to assume that young children are safely sleeping everywhere and not on our airwaves here. So I have in the studio with me Daniel Gilligan, who is a certified risk management and with the Paradigm Insurance Services. And we've been talking about the complexities of insurance, selecting one, the insurance market, and really just how complicated it really is for people who don't like to read insurance policies. So Dan offered to break this down for us, and we're going to go right into a little information so we could learn a little more.
I'm happy to talk about whatever you want to talk about. I think we had talked about maybe just a quick overview of like the individual health insurance market.
That would be perfect.
Okay. Well, the health insurance market is not in good shape, if you're interested in kind of why that is, I think that for those of us who are, older than 15, you can remember when New Jersey's auto insurance was a disaster. And they had the state plan, and they had no carriers. All the carriers were leaving New Jersey, and New Jersey had extraordinarily high costs. And actually, you know, that was the result of decades of regulation of the personal auto insurance industry. And what kind of broke that logjam was, you may recall that GEICO was not a carrier in New Jersey. GEICO didn't, you know, participate in New Jersey. And GEICO went to New Jersey and said, look, we'll enter that marketplace, but you guys have to, you know, get rid of a lot of this restrictive regulation that makes it difficult to do business. And New Jersey was smart enough to say yes. And in doing that, that became a much more competitive marketplace. To now, you know, you can go and you can shop your car insurance however often you want to, and you can get different things.
That's really interesting, Dan. So just one person in the market, one company, can bring enough to impact change.
They're a whale. You know, GEICO is a massive player in that market. But what is interesting is they looked at the, you know, regulatory environment of New Jersey, and they said, we can't make any money there, or, you know, it's not in the way that we want to. It's onerous. So fortunately, you know, legislators said, we need that type of a resource here, so we'll let them have their way, and it made the marketplace better. So the reason why I mention that is because I think that the health insurance market, certainly the individual health insurance market, is in a similar place. It's highly, highly regulated. Now, of course, there's some benefit to regulation, but it has served to constrict that marketplace to, within individual market, you have, you know, there's three carriers. There's Horizon, there's AmeriHealth, and there's a newer carrier called Oscar, you know. So, and all of those plans by regulation are all the same. You know, there's not, so you price those out, and unfortunately there's nothing really attractive because they're all very expensive. It's a very expensive product.
That's really interesting, though, that there's three carriers in New Jersey, and that's through the marketplace.
Those are private carriers for those who will not qualify for the federal marketplace. You have to qualify for the federal marketplace, and that's basically a financial type of qualification. And
not necessarily, actually, because you can get health insurance through the marketplace and not have a subsidy, but you're able to purchase it.
Right, you can do that.
Yeah, and that's what I did, so I know that to be true.
Okay.
But through all my research, there were so many plans. No one said that there's just three carriers.
Yeah.
So that's
there are different, you know, plan designs.
They all have different plan designs, but they're all different, and it's hard to really compare them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it's tough to even if you, when you have that stuff in front of you, you know, just kind of the jargon of it, you know, is a little bit difficult. You know, when we have new people enter into the business, I'll look at them and I'll say, you know, they need to just kind of digest this stuff for 2 or 3 years before they start to speak the insurance language. So, you know, when you're a consumer and you're doing that yourself, trying to figure this stuff out, it's arduous. So. But, yeah, you know, there's the exchange, and then there's the there's a limited open enrollment period unless you have a qualifying event. And then there's the subsidies, which, you know, basically are available to people who have lower incomes. And it depends on your family status, single, married, that kind of thing. And, you know, to round out the discussion, the only other thing that people occasionally do is they'll go with what's kind of referred to as a MediShare program, which is interesting. It's not actually an insurance policy. It's not a contract. It's an organization that says, look, we're going to get a whole bunch of people to send us a little bit of money every month in form of their premiums, and then we promise to pay your bills, you know, to the best that we can. So those are often some type of religious group-sponsored type of thing. But people are attracted to those because the costs are, you know, generally half of what a private or, you know, unsubsidized health insurance plan would be. So that's pretty much it. What small companies do is they'll either buy, you know, a private group insurance plan, and then you know about all the employee contributions, the way that you can do those different types of matrix. Some companies will go with a PEO, a preferred employer organization. In fact, my agency, you know, we use a PEO because they do a lot of the administrative stuff, and I also buy health insurance, you know, through the PEO. It happens to be with Cigna. So, you know, for some organizations, that can be a good fit. But You know, there really is. And even when you get to organizations where there's a couple hundred people and they have $500,000 to, you know, look at the some type of a self-funding program, there's no magic bullet, you know, with health insurance.
So why do you think that... Why do you think that when New Jersey went to the marketplace, because some states chose not to, when the Affordable Health Plan came into being, some states opted not to do it within the state, but New Jersey chose to do that. So why do you think it wasn't attractive enough for a whale, like in your Geico story and car insurance, to impact the market here in New Jersey?
Well, I mean, the story of Obamacare and federalized health insurance is interesting, and there are many companies, you know, health insurance companies who were getting subsidies through the government to participate in that. What I believe is that the government is not really the best business executive. And, you know, you know me, Georgine, I'm a limited government type of guy. I believe,
yes, you are.
Yeah, I believe that the government should do that which only the government can do, you know, and I mean, you could look at the government's experience in insurance and looking at the federal health insurance program. And that is kind of interesting to, you know, look at the history of that. And how the government got into the flood insurance business and what the status of that flood insurance program is now. I hope that the federal health insurance, you know, scheme does not go the same way. But you want to tell you about flood insurance? It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's okay. Very interesting.
What happened was, because there's unintended consequences to, you know, well-intended legislation. And what happened was in the late 60s, Lake Pontchartrain, I think I pronounced it correctly, which you've heard of in Louisiana, had a massive hurricane and a massive flood. Now, before that, there was no federal health insurance, federal flood insurance, excuse me. And what happened is that's when people, you know, down the shore built like these 2x3, framed cottages because they would blow away. And they didn't have insurance, and they were small because they couldn't get a mortgage because you couldn't get flood insurance. So they, you know, just built houses out of their, you know, whatever money they had put away because they couldn't get a big loan to build a big house. So, you know, there is a private market for health insurance, but insurers would look, and they'd look and say, well, if it's kind of like in a place where there's going to be a flood pretty much, you know, we're going to charge like a real lot of money. And so there really wasn't a viable market. So this thing happens, the hurricane in the late 60s, to Lake Pontchartrain, and all these people who live near the lake have no house no more. So the government, the federal government said, that's really bad. It is really bad. What they then said is, and we're going to do something about it. So they created a federal flood insurance program, and that essentially sells flood insurance to people in flood-prone areas at discounted rates, and those rates are discounted because they're subsidized by all the federal taxpayers in Montana, in Nebraska, in, you know, Maine, where there are no beaches and where there are no large bodies of water. So what that then creates is something, you know, that you could describe as like adverse selection. You know, the people who purchased flood insurance were those people only in flood prone areas. And as subsidized by, you know, the rest of the country in the Great Plains and the mountains and other places. And what it comes down to is that now, every few months, I'll get an email from, you know, the National Flood Insurance Program, which says, hey, you know, we were hoping to get congressional reauthorization to put some more money into the flood insurance program because the flood insurance program is effectively bankrupt and it continuously runs you know, at a deficit that has to be replenished. So it's not really insurance. It's really just a federal program. And, you know, for those of you who have a flood insurance policy and you'll say, you'll look at it and it'll say Travelers or Hartford or Selective or whoever, that's actually the service and carrier. Basically, the government subs out the policy issuance and claims management and all that kind of thing to carriers. But the one writing the check is the federal government. So, you know, when you look at the federal government's involvement and experience in that type of an insurance business, and, you know, just based on that, and you say, okay, well, they're you know, they're not going to be in the health insurance business, and they, you know, Medicare and all Medicaid and all that. I just don't see a if we look at history, I don't see a good ending to that.
Well, I think too, if we just look at Sandy and the changes of the elevation for houses in
right.
order to be able to be eligible
right.
for flood insurance, I think that we look at that and we think how it's changing the landscape of houses, you know.
Well, you know what, that's interesting that you mentioned that. And that was basically because, you know, the federal government did look at what was being paid out. And, you know, you'll have houses that have flooded one, two, three times, and the people just rebuild them because they're paying for it with subsidized flood insurance premiums, and the government is paying to rebuild it. So the government finally did say, look, you know, we should, like, make that a little bit more difficult for people and not make this program so cheap and accessible. So, you know, the other side of having this cheap, accessible flood insurance program running at a deficit paid for by the taxpayer and subsidized, the other side of that is, you know, the unintended consequence of shoreline overdevelopment. So you look at water quality and, you know, what happened to the marshlands that filter the water and that kind of thing. And you look at a place like Long Beach Island where, you know, you thought you had the beach view and, it, you know, there's just more and more houses closer to the beach. Well, that's the unintended consequence of well-intended legislation is essentially overdevelopment in shore and flood-prone areas, meaning that if that cheap subsidized insurance product was not available, you know, there would not that type of development would not make financial sense, and it would not have happened. Georgina, are we now into a different medium?
Yeah. I'm working
okay.
on it, though.
Okay.
I'm working on it. If you could have talked maybe another 2 minutes, we definitely could have done that. So we're going to do okay. our news break now. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about some of the – it's always interesting to me to look at some of the historic things that have happened and how they shape what's happening in the market today. So when we come back from our break, I'll be back with Dan Gilligan from Paradigm Insurance Services to talk a little more about the historic things that have shaped the insurance industry. So stay with us. We'll be back.
USA Radio News.
President Trump confronted Russian President Vladimir Putin regarding hacking the 2016 presidential election. Again, Putin denied the country's involvement. Putin also offered to work with the United States in analyzing cyber attacks. The meeting is drawing some criticism from Democrats and Republicans on the Hill, including Republican Senator Bob Corker.
Everyone who's dealt with Putin understands fully that the best way to deal with him is through strength. And I just felt like the president's comments made us look as a nation more like a pushover.
Today, the Justice Department filed charges against a Russian national for conspiracy to act as a foreign agent. Teresa Payton is a former George W. Bush White House chief information officer. She explains what these charges mean.
It could be the smoking gun, but the other piece is there are oftentimes autonomous units.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful. But then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
Friday, banks released their earnings reports. Now, it was good news for some big banks such as JPMorgan Chase, Citigroup, PNC Bank and Bank of America. But what does this mean for us and you, and what does it mean for banks long term? Well, Marty Mosby is with Bank of America. He broke down some of these profit reports.
We've got growth in the balance sheet, so loan growth is back. Even Bank of America shows some deposit growth, which is very strong.
One professional wrestling's most well-known figure is making a comeback, as we hear from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Hulk Hogan's suspension lifted by the WWE, and he's headed back to the WWE Hall of Fame as well. Hogan had been kicked out in 2015 after a leaked conversation revealed him using a racial slur. In a statement, the WWE now says Hogan's numerous apologies and his work with kids have earned him a second chance. It means he could be back on television very, very soon.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey, Charlie Jones here. I've been sleeping on a MyPillow now for 10 weeks, and I'm telling you, my sleep has improved dramatically. So what are you waiting for? Jump on board and start experiencing the kind of restorative sleep you need in your life. And if you're waiting for a better offer, your wait is over, because MyPillow just brought back their best offer ever. It's their buy one, get one free special. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the buy one, get one free special, use my code USA, and get one free pillow when you buy one at regular price. That's MyPillow.com, click on the buy one, get one free special, and enter promo code USA.
President Trump is on his way back to the White House, and one of the big stories of the day is still the president's meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Let's take a listen to some of the president's opening remark.
Constructive dialogue between the United States and Russia afford the opportunity to open new pathways toward peace and stability in our world. I would rather take a political risk in pursuit of peace than to risk peace in pursuit of politics. As president, I will always put what is best for America and what is best for the American people.
The president then elaborates on what was discussed during the private meeting.
As we discussed at length, the crisis in Syria is a complex one. Cooperation between our two countries has the potential to save hundreds of thousands of lives. I also made clear that the United States will not allow Iran to benefit from our successful campaign against ISIS. We have just about eradicated ISIS in the area. We also agreed that representatives from our national security councils will meet to follow up on all of the issues we addressed today and to continue the progress we have started right here in Helsinki.
President Trump is expected to land tonight in Washington, D.C. just after 9:30 Eastern Time. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
We're back in the studio with Dan Gilligan. I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle at Hot 100, and today talking about how insurance changes have impacted what we do and how we do or where we even do it, as in the case with the Hurricane Sandy aftermath, where your houses got knocked down if they were in a certain zone. And it wasn't just insurance. Some of that was, of course, other indicators from towns and municipal codes that changed. But some of it, of course, was based on not being able to get flood insurance or not having flood insurance and losing your house, which is can be really catastrophic for people.
Yeah. No, insurance is critical. You know, it basically replaces money, you know, first party property insurance, whatever kind. So we want to insure our homes. My point from kind of a macro perspective is that the viability of the flood insurance market the way that it is right now is not good. It's essentially a subsidized government program. And, you know, insurance is at its heart, a business transaction between a customer and an insurance provider. And when we call these things like the NFIP, the National Flood Insurance Program, insurance, that's not really insurance. It's in fact a program. And, the same thing with Medicaid insurance, Medicare insurance. And as it looks like, that is what is also the structure of the the federal program for health insurance.
Which scares me. I worry about that. I definitely worry about that. But we have to wait, I guess, until there's more changes that come, if there'll be changes, and things progress is slow.
Yeah. You know, health insurance is interesting. It didn't really come about until I think it was like the 40s where it became popular in this country. And, you know, part of that was there were unions and, you know, restrictions on increases. So you would give people fringe benefits. And health insurance was considered a fringe benefit. And I guess prior to that, you know, people, if they didn't have health insurance, they would pay. But you know what? There wasn't medical technology that could do what medical technology and drugs can do today and do so with associated expense. You know, you just got sick and checked out and, you know, after a short stay somewhere. So I guess that the whole thing was not as catastrophic for people from a financial standpoint. But I think the mistake that we made with insurance was, you know, insurance should not be a first dollar trade-off.
What does that mean?
Insurance is something that you should purchase for those things that are going to affect your personal or your company's balance sheet. Not so much your cash flow, not so much your income statement, but your balance sheet. If you can afford to pay for it from your cash flow, then do so. Because if you were to insure that, you're just going to be, you know, paying an insurance company to do that for you, plus the, you know, the premium expense. So you want to retain essentially as much insurance associated risk as you can. So, you know, we have accounts where they'll, you know, they'll have $100,000 or $200,000 retention, you know, where they take that on, you know, on certain types of liability policies. And they'll buy a, you know, $20, $50 million limit of insurance on top of that because they know that they'll have small claims and they're best absorbed in-house where, you know, we could provide them with something with a $1,000 retention or deductible, but we're going to charge them for that, you know. So when you take that type of concept and you look at health insurance, well, we used to go into the doctor and paying a $10 copay, paying a $20 copay. You know, and I think that so insurance companies are okay with selling you that, but they're charging you for that. I mean, we can all afford our copay, you know, and we could likely afford the doctor visit. So I think that, you know, if we were to have people, if the product was structured such that the expectation was that people would retain a lot more of that, you know, of that financial risk, the market would be better. You know, the premiums would be cheaper. But we've all gotten used to, you know, I know myself. What do you mean I have to pay $50 now? That's a lot. Well, not really, you know.
It depends what the other out-of-pocket costs are.
Right.
And then you look at the totality of what your out-of-pocket costs are for things that aren't tangible. You know, maybe a preventative visit or something when you can spend $50, you can do a lot more with $50 that has a tangible benefit attached to it than, you know, go for a visit for someone to tell you you're fine or, you know, so it's what we are used to paying for, as you said, and it's also, though, what we expect to pay for something. Mm-hmm. And it gets more difficult, I think, to increase those expenses when you have another monthly premium and then you're going to go to the pharmacy.
My point is that if as a society, you know, we assumed more of that financial cost up front of medical expense, the insurance market would be a lot stronger and, you know, the premiums would be commensurately less. Ideally, you know, on a net basis, less so that there's less cost to the consumer. So, but it's interesting, you know, your point about staying in good health and that kind of thing. For those people who may do that, you know, the health insurance business doesn't really recognize that and give you a credit, you know. And that's a regulatory issue. Insurance, and it's not nice to say this, but insurance is, it's inherently something of a, the business of underwriting is inherently a discriminatory practice. Carriers pick out the best risks, ones that they don't think are going to have claims. You know, so you'll have a building that we're going to insure, and they'll get credits for having a sprinkler system and stuff like that. And you'll have more underwriters interested in that business. There's no such dynamic that exists in the health insurance market, you know. And again, that's because it's a highly regulated market.
We're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, our hour's almost up. So I want to wrap up. This is a very important topic today. I especially appreciate having some of the history of it, but also how we can be better informed. So stay with us.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
And we're back live in the studio with Danielle Gilligan talking about insurance and what it means in the market, what it can mean personally. And I was hoping we could spend the next, just we only have about 4 minutes remaining in our time today, Dan, but it is such an important topic. Are there any tips that you can give people if they're either shopping for health insurance? Like, can you get a broker if you are eligible, not financially, but for health insurance, you're self-employed, can you get a health insurance broker? Like, and not just health insurance, but if you're looking at insurance, can you tell us some tips?
Yes, you can. And I think, I forget if we were talking on air or off air, Georgine, but there still is, you know, a role for an agent to help people. And there continues to be that demand, you know. Our business, my role has not been automated. They can't find a way to automate what it is that we do, which is, you know, sift through the marketplace and understand what's important to people and try and, you know, put those things together. So in my industry, there are not enough agents, you know, and there are like very few young people who come into this business. You can actually go to college now and get a 4-year degree in risk management and insurance, but those people are generally picked off by carriers when they come out. I've looked to hire them, and the carriers will get them with nice packages, or venture firms are looking for people like this. So, but there's very high demand, and those colleges have like 100% placement. So I know a young lady who went, she went and majored in that. She didn't know what to major in, but she said, I think I'd like to have a job, you know, after I graduate. So she went and went into a risk management insurance program. In my office, you know, we do have a couple of people who actually can help people with this stuff. As you may have been able to tell, that's not exactly what I do every day, but, you know, I'm very fortunate to have them on our team so people can, you know, get in touch with us if they want. I would recommend that, you know, if you have an associate, a peer who seems to have figured this stuff out, whether you're an individual or a business owner, you know, talk to them and see who they use, because they've probably been through this shopping marketing process. If you're small and you're, you know, you're going into business, in all the time that I've been doing this, I will have people who come to us and they're like, you know, can you price this out? Can you do that? Can you do this? And, you know, you do want to get a sense of that. But you don't want to let going to talk to me and going to talk to the attorney and going to talk to the accountant to dissuade you from doing the revenue generating things that you have to do in your business. It's interesting. I've seen a lot of people, you know, who will go through that process and then they really don't kind of get into the going into the business part because, you know, the administrative stuff can just be a headache and a little bit, you know, of a downer. On the other hand, I've seen people where, you know, they'll talk to me and I'm like, how long have you been doing this? And I started 3 years ago. I got 10 employees. I should probably buy some insurance. What do you think? You know, so I'll look at those people there and I call them ready, fire, aim people, you know, and that's a little silly, you know, and it's a little dangerous. But that seems to we all need to have a little bit of that, you know.
We do. Those are some great tips. And Dan, I want to just give your contact information before we sign off here so people can reach you in your office. And that number is 908-782-3800.
Yeah. Yep.
Great. And they can look at you online at www.paradigm-ins.com. I'll put a link on the Houghton Hunterdon page for the Paradigm Insurance Services. Daniel Gilligan was our guest today talking and breaking down some of the complexities of the insurance industry. And Dan, I really thank you for coming on. It's really obviously something of interest to me. I think it's really important that people identify what they need and be able to figure out what that best product is for that personalization. And it's a difficult market.
So, well, I'm very glad to be here. It's great to talk with you, Georgie.
Thank you. And thank everyone for listening. We'll be back next week at Houghton Hunterdon.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
There's still talks and relative unease in the stock market regarding a trade war going on between the United States and China over tariffs. Well, today, just outside of Washington, D.C., Vice President Mike Pence addressed the trade war and tariffs.
This is not the first blow. In fact, these and future tariffs are commensurate to the damage that China has done to the American economy through forced technology transfers from our businesses to theirs, as well as their broader trade policies. If China refuses to level the playing field and continues to retaliate against American manufacturers and American agricultures, their leaders should know America will not back down. Our resolve will never break.
President Trump is on his way home from his meeting and press conference with Russian President Vladimir Putin. The president is facing some criticism from Democrats and Republicans for not standing up to Putin regarding election meddling. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful. But then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
Gas prices continue their downward trend. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more.
The national average for a gallon of regular gas fell by a penny to $2.94 in the past week. Gas price analyst Trilby Lundberg saying it might fall a little bit more.
We have to look at the short and immediate term trends for crude oil prices, and they appear to be battered by competing supply and demand trends, as well as daily headlines.
San Francisco Mayor London Breed said the streets of her city are flooded with excrement of the homeless. Breed is doing what she can to get homeless advocacy groups the money they need so the groups can help teach homeless people how to clean up after themselves.
I will say that there's more feces on the sidewalks than I've ever seen, you know, growing up here. That was something that wasn't the norm.
San Francisco Mayor London Breed is, you're listening to USA Radio News.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off the